Idaho. He says, please, when you teach a lesson, record it and send it to me. So I've been doing that. Every Wednesday night I taught in Fish Lake Valley for my pastor up there. He worked, and sometimes he would be able to go to church on Wednesday night because he would be out of town pulling water wells and things. He was worked with a construction outfit, and they worked all over. So I taught on Wednesday night for him. The lesson tonight that I'd like to bring to you is on the Trinity. We constantly are running into people that don't believe in the triune God, or they don't understand the Trinity. In Deuteronomy, that's where I'd like you to go, to the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. That's in the front part of the Bible. And we have Moses exhorting Israel here. And we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the books of Moses in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy means literally the second law. The second law. The second giving of the law. When God gave the law the first time, he gave it to them, and it was very long and drawn out. And the second giving of the law, he wanted them to understand in plain people's language what he wanted. God, the book here, the Bible that we have, is a library. How many knows how many chapter, how many books are in the Bible? How many? Well, that's not quite right.
66.
66 books. And how many writers that God used to pen his word? How many of you? I don't know whether any of you are in the junior church, are there? None of you are you? See, I've been going over this with them on Sundays, and they can just rattle it right off. How many different writers? Well, there's one author. There's about 40 different writers. Some of them we don't know who wrote the books. This book we're studying right here, Deuteronomy, we're just going to study one verse out of it. That's Moses. And over how long of a period of time was the Bible written in? Anybody know that? How many years did it take to write the Bible? How many years? Huh? No, that's a little short. Over all the period of time that it was written, it'll surprise you. 1,500 years. 1,500 years. All right. Now, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That's God's Word that He gave to us. And the translation that I use, I taught Greek and Hebrew in a Christian college and a seminary for 12 years. Almost, 13 years, I guess. And actually longer than that, because while I was teaching there, I was teaching extension schools also in Greek and Hebrew and history and language, different things. And I also taught God's eternal purpose and the what's called the dispensations of time, that how God dealt with man differently in different periods of time. There's only been one way of salvation between God and man, and God made that way of salvation. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. The triune God. Now, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Has anybody got that? Somebody got that? Okay, Joan.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
All right. How many gods are there?
One.
All right. How do we know that? The Bible just revealed it to us.
In black and white.
It's in black and white, right there. There we go. We've got it. This coat's getting hot. So there's one God, isn't there? All right. We say we believe in a Trinity. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, we know in the Bible speaks of the Father, doesn't it? Anybody going to disagree with that? The Father. When we start praying, Jesus gave us a model prayer, didn't he? And he gave us that prayer, his Father. That's how you start off. You address the Father. All right? Now he's gone. Okay, what else do we know of God? The Son. Okay, God the Son. Anyone else in that triune God? God the Holy Spirit. Now, according to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, there's one God. So that means there aren't three of them. That means there's one of them. All right? That's pretty confusing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Really, it is. And that's just the way it is. You know, a lot of things, God says it very plain in His Word that there is one God. He's known as the Father. He's known as the Holy Spirit. He's known as the Son. Okay? Now, there aren't three gods. There's only one God. Now, how many of you are they, Sharon?
One.
Do you have a body? Definitely. I can look at you and I can see. Do you have a spirit? The Bible says that spirit is what gives you life. That's what makes you breathe and live, and that spirit comes from God. All animals out in the world, they have a body. You can see that, huh? Sometimes we eat them. How many of you ate an animal for dinner tonight? Huh? What did you have?
Beef.
Okay. That animal had a body. Okay? Animals are dual, by the way, dual in nature. They have a body and they have a spirit. And to some extent, they think, and animals aren't as dumb as you think they are. That's right. I've seen a lot of animals smarter than people. Well, Sharon, she has a body, she has a spirit, and she has a mind, and in that mind dwells, or in the mind, the soul dwells, or the soul. The mind dwells in the soul. We're body, we're spirit, and we're soul. That's triune, just like God is. Now, that's the easiest way that I can explain God, but there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that teach us about this. In John, the first chapter, go back to the Gospel according to John. Now, if you study, I used to teach the history of the making of the Bible. Now, the Gospel according to John, well, first of all, John's name means dove. John was a very gentle person. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. But when he come to heretics, he was not easy on them. There were people that began to not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means he died and his body was never raised. You know, the Bible also teaches without the resurrection we have no salvation. He died for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. All right? So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. They didn't believe, many of them did not believe, that God came down and died for mankind. In the Old Testament, in the Law of Moses, remember we talked about the Law of Moses, and we talked about the second giving, Deuteronomy, the second law, where he explained it. Explained very plainly in that law of the law of the kinsman redeemer. And that meant something. The kinsman redeemer. That meant if a person was not able to buy something back, he had to sell it. If he got in bad straits and had to sell something, his land, for instance. First of all the land of Israel belonged to God, Jehovah. It wasn't anybody else's. But he said if this man lost this land, whatever, one of his relatives that had enough money could buy it back, but he had to be related to it. That taught the same thing as the Savior. God had to be related to us to buy us back to Himself and to pay for our sins. In Genesis, the third chapter, after man and woman had sinned, what happened there? God promised something again. He promised a Redeemer to come. He said that I will put enmity between you and her seed. He's talking to Satan. And that enmity, that hatred between Satan and mankind. You know, when God created this heavens and the earth, He created it, and who was the first caretaker of it? Before man.
Who was the first caretaker of this earth? The material creation of God. Who was it? His name was Lucifer. That's the star of the morning. That meant the bright and shining one. That's who began to be known as Satan.
He was the original caretaker, according to Ezekiel the 28th chapter and Isaiah the 14th chapter. He was the original caretaker of the material realm of God. He destroyed it, tore it all up,
rebelled against God. Jesus said he saw him fall from the heavens as a lightning bolt to this earth and destroy. You know what lightning does when it hits? It destroys. Anyway, God put man over the earth. And he says, you take care of this earth now. You take care of it. Well, man kind of gave away the title deed to it. It's old Lucifer again, didn't it?
Well, God promised them in Genesis 3 and 15, 16 and 17, he told them that you'll have a Redeemer, and he's going to be born from your flesh, this Redeemer is. Well, Adam and Eve, they didn't understand much about it.
And that first child they had, what was his name? The first child, what?
Cain.
The word Cain means gotten. And Eve, when this little child was born, she said, yay, I've gotten a child from God,
even the Lord. She thought he was the Savior. Even the Lord. She thought that this was, you know, he promised them a Savior, so right off the bat, he's going to be right here.
People are looking today for the second coming of Jesus Christ. They've been looking for it for 2,000 years, haven't they? 2,000 years ago he was born. People were looking for a second coming of Jesus ever since he left. Well, you know, Paul and them expected to see him in their day, but they didn't. Well, Adam and Eve, they expected the Lord right then.
He said, we have gotten a man, even the Lord. What happened? What did Cain do? Remember what Cain did? What did he do? He killed his own brother. Boy, that was a disappointment, wasn't it? What a disappointment.
Well, they found out right off the bat that wasn't the Lord. That wasn't the Savior, but he was to come just the same. He was going to come. It took 4,000 years for him to get here the first time. For 4,000 years, they looked forward to the Christ to come, the Jehovah, in the Old Testament. The word Jehovah, you see the first use of the word Jehovah when after man sinned, after he sinned, you see the first use of the word Jehovah. Jehovah means he who shall become. Now, look back in the book of Genesis, and I want to show you the first root form of that word Jehovah. Now, you don't see it in the English translations.
It says in the first verse there, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In beginnings, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is God. Okay? You're going to see that word in the New Testament later on. We're going to see that one quoted. It's not going to be New Testament written in Greek. But a lot of the words were translated in the Septuagint was a translation of the Old Testament into Greek. And those words that would be translated such, they were translated such in the New Testament, and they knew what they were. And Jesus uses those words of the Septuagint. He quotes the Septuagint more than he does the Hebrew Bible.
Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2, and it says, and she became formless and void.
That's literally what it says from Hebrew. And she became formless and void. And it said it was there, doesn't it? In the Hebrew language, there is no translation for was. There is no was in Hebrew. That is the first time you see the word Hayah in the Old Testament right there.
And the earth, she became formless and void. Became.
Remember what Jehovah means? He who shall become. That's the form of it.
There's where we see the first word in the Old Testament of that verb form of Jehovah. The earth, she became formless and void. And according to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, how she became formless and void was because of what Satan did.
Now, John the Apostle, as we were talking about a few moments ago, in his day, there were people that began, after these were so-called Christians, some of them, and they would have a big Christian leader stand up. Actually, in the 4th century, there was one called Arius of Alexandria. That was one that predated who John's writing against here. He stood up and says, Jesus was the angel, the archangel Michael. He came down to this earth, and that he lived and died, and the body that he lived in, they don't want to happen to it. He's the one that called what he started the Arian heresy.
Jehovah's Witnesses today, they propagate on that Arian heresy.
Finally, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ fought that thing ever since and still are fighting it today.
The church has always fought heresy from within and persecution from without. Even in Jesus' own day, when he came down, the harshest words he spoke were to the religious people of his day.
What did he say to the prostitutes and the thieves and the beggars and the criminals? What did he say to the thief on the cross when he was dying? Today you shall be with me in paradise. What did he say to Mary Magdalene? Her sins are forgiven, that's what he told her.
She was a very bad woman. Had lived a horrible life. The city of Magdala was a city of ill repute at that time.
It was kind of like places in Nevada that are known for certain things. That's what it was. That's what it was. And that's where she was from, Mary Magdalene. God changed her life. He forgave her soul. And there were the Pharisees that stood up there and he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do that. And what did Jesus say about it? He called him a hypocrite, an actor. That's what a hypocrite means, actor.
There was a publican out there, that's a tax collector, that's one of the worst people in the world. You know, like you,
just like working for the IRS or something. Nobody will talk to you. They don't like you. Anyway, he said, that man, he wouldn't even look up to God. He beat his breast. And he said, God, forgive me, a sinner. God forgives those that recant and call upon him. You know when God saves you? When you know you're a sinner. You know when God's going to save little Mary? When she realizes all the things that she does, the little temper tantrums and everything, that is sin. And that's separating her from God. Then she can be saved. That's what does it. I didn't say it. I said it because Mary wasn't here tonight.
One of these days she's going to realize that. She's going to realize that, hey, I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. Well, going back to John now.
John was the only apostle that lived of old age and died of a natural death, as far as we know. He lived to be 100 and something years old in the city of Ephesus. He had been exiled. He had been tortured and everything. And there were 3 Gospels written, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And God impressed upon John's mind, and this is written history, you can find this out, through his disciples that have written, you know, there's other things besides the Bible written about these period of time histories. One of his disciples named Polycarp said John was so impressed by God to write the gospel according to John because people didn't believe that Jesus was God. That he was just a man or an angel or something else. That he did not come, that God did come in the flesh.
So in John, the first chapter, Jesus gets the Jews' attention. He gets all the Gnostics' attention. The Gnostics is the one that says, well, we know better. You know, we know that Jesus was just an angel. And just, you know, they have a superior way. And if you look at Jehovah's Witnesses, they know it all. You know,
actually, the word Gnostic means to know more than everybody else.
Okay, that's where the word Gnostic means to know. It comes from the Greek word gnosko. That means I know. There are know-it-alls. In John, the first chapter, in verse 1, It says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was, and the Word was God.
The Word was towards God, and the Word was God. I get mixed up, I say it in Greek in my head, and I can't hardly say it any other way. In Greek, that's the original language. It says, in the beginning kept on being the Word. Now, what is the Word? Why did he put down the Word? The Jews knew why. When the Jews read the Old Testament, when it came to the word Jehovah, you cannot pronounce that word. You cannot pronounce it today. We say Jehovah. That's not what it means. I don't know how to say the word Jehovah, and I can read Hebrew. But I can't read the word Jehovah because there's no way to pronounce it. It's the unpronounceable word. Word, see? And they, when they would come to that word Jehovah, they would say the word. And they would refer to it as word, or when they would be reading, they'd come across in there, like Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Look at this here for just a second. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. We're going to find this one quoted a little bit later. A voice is calling, clear the way for in the wilderness. That's what they would say. That word is Jehovah there.
They would not read that word Jehovah. It said, they would read this, a voice is calling, clear the way for the in the wilderness. And they would say the word in the wilderness. That's who he is. Jehovah,
he who shall become. Now, in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John, that's what we've been studying on Wednesday night,
we find the fulfillment of that prophecy. The Jehovah titles, there's many of them, many of the Jehovah titles, Jesus fulfilled them all when he came to this earth. The word Jehovah, he who shall become, became. Let's look again at John, the first chapter, and verse 1. And I'm going to give you a literal translation of it. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah.
That's who it's talking about. We know who it is. That's what it's talking about. It's this Hebrew word that nobody pronounced.
In beginning, kept on being. The word was there. That means it's third person singular and perfect indicative active.
Verb, that's what it is. That sounds like a whole different bunch of words, but it's third person singular, that means he. I, you, he. She or it. Okay, that's the third person. Okay? Imperfect tense, it means it kept on being. No, it just continued to be. So that means the word kept on being. He did it for himself, active voice, indicative mode, that's a fact.
All right, there you have the whole thing translated for you. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Word, or Jehovah, kept on being toward the God. You can't separate Jehovah, God, from God.
Because he's what? He's one God, isn't he? Okay?
And then it says here finally, and the Jehovah kept on being God.
Look down to verse 14. Says, well, look and see what happens.
We have the fulfillment of the Jehovah title. And the Jehovah.
What does it say? All right. Literally became flesh. He became for himself. He made himself flesh. How did Jehovah make himself flesh? How did God make himself flesh? How did he do it? That's right. There was a woman called Mary,
and she was a virgin, and she was betrothed to a man named Joseph, which was of the line of David. Both of them went back. Both of their families were very important. They went back.
Just right. We find out one of those genealogies goes all the way back to Adam, and Adam, as in Christ, died for all men. As in Adam, all die. As in the second Adam, all are made alive. Okay.
We find that in the other genealogy that he is the king of Israel. Who was on the throne of Israel when Jesus was born? Herod.
Who was that rascal? He wasn't supposed to be on the throne, was he? Who was he? What was Herod's lineage? How many of you ever heard of Lot? Remember when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah? All right.
And God drug him out of there, and his wife just had to look back, didn't she?
She didn't want to leave that place. What happened to her? She became a pillar of salt. Well, he had two dogs there.
Well, it says that
that his daughters made him drunk, and they had a child by him. Through that, became Herod. He was out of it. That's where he came from. He wasn't supposed to be on the throne of Israel. Joseph was supposed to be on the throne of Israel.
The line of David had been thrown aside, and Herod, now he was related to Abraham, wasn't he? Huh? Yeah. But that line wasn't supposed to be on. He was kind of like an Arab, wasn't he? Yeah. He wasn't supposed to be on the throne of Israel. Why do you think he had such a guilty conscience when those three magi came looking for the real king?
What do you think? He knew already that his number was up. Because do you know that book from the Daniel, that the book of Daniel, the ninth chapter, that they knew that Jesus was going to be born. It was time for him to be born. Those Jews knew that. They knew where he was going to be born and everything else. They knew it was time for the Messiah to be born.
Yeah. Yeah. They were very satisfied with Herod. Herod was giving them what they want. They had a religion that they could control. Herod was patting their backs, and the Roman government was mistreating them, of course. But they were doing what they wanted to do. Those stubborn people. And the Word, the Jehovah, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
This one God, according to Deuteronomy, we have Him identified here as the Father, the impression of the Father, and of the Son already, don't we? And we have Him as the fulfillment of Jehovah. He came to this earth. He became flesh.
John 1 and 18. Here we have another Greek word that I want to bring out to you that's not in any translations. Well, and I have a New American Standard Bible here, and over there in the column, it does say what it literally means there. And I believe it does also in the Amplified Bible. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God.
God became flesh.
He was begotten in the womb of Mary, wasn't he?
All right. He was begotten. God begot himself. Now, Sharon,
you have two girls, don't you?
All right.
No, I have three.
Three girls. All right. Now, you know that they were begotten. You have these children. They came from your body.
Oh, yeah.
These are your children.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. They, now, when you leave this world, the only thing you're going to leave behind is those children. That's it.
They're from you. They're your flesh and your blood.
God overshadowed Mary, and she begat this child. This child was real man. He was real flesh. See, in the Old Testament,
I had a teacher one time that taught me. He said, Jim, listen. He said, I'm going to tell you something.
As in Adam, all die. All right? Adam, Eve was deceived. Now, I'm not running you women down. The Bible teaches that a woman is an emotional being. She is emotional. Sometimes she don't think with it, but she thinks with her heart. Okay? And the Bible teaches back there that in the book of Genesis, in the garden, that the woman was deceived by the serpent, Satan using the serpent as a mouthpiece. Now, she had been walking and talking with the serpent for a long time with all the other animals. They got along with them fine back then. They didn't eat him. They ate each other. A whole lot different. After that ark landed, things changed, people. And that's when the animals started eating each other and things all started doing different. And in the millennial reign, the lion will lay down with a calf and chew his cud again, just like he did in Adam's test. All right. How many knew that? Yeah. Amen. Things are going to change. It's going to go back again in reverse. They're going to start eating straw, alfalfa hay and stuff again, like they did originally. Anyway, Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Adam deceived woman. Here we go again. Woman means out of man. That's what it literally means. In the Hebrew, it's ish. Adam. Okay, first of all, God called man Adam because he was of the earth. He was here on the earth. Adam. That means of the earth. And then his generic name or masculine name was Ish. And then he says, we take man, Ish. And from man we'll take Isha. Isha means woman, out of man. Okay? Now, in the original language in Hebrew, it doesn't say that God took rib and made Eve. He took of man, of Ish, all that was feminine out of him. And he made feminine man, Isha. Okay? And he took them apart. He took one being apart, and he made them two. They put them back together in marriage. They became one again. Adam did not want to turn loose of his counterpart. So he knowingly sinned. He did. He knew it would separate him from God, and he did it knowingly. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He said willfully against God.
God called him on the carpet.
Now, if a woman could have a child without the use of a man, this child would be not without sin, because sin is not carried through the blood of the woman, but through the blood of the man.
That's where it comes. That's what Brother Farrar kept saying to me over and over again. He said, that sin does not come through the blood of the woman. It comes through man, as in Adam all died, not through woman.
And when God promised them this, what did Adam say to the woman when she was going to have a child? He said, I will call her Eve because she is the mother of all living. I am the father of all time.
He believed God because she would be the one that would be the mother of the living one, the eternal living one.
See? There's so many things back in that language that's there, that's hidden in the Bible, that you can draw out and look at it. It just jumps up at you.
Beautiful stuff. Okay, John 1 and 18. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father.
He has led himself out. That's what it literally means. He has led himself out. Instead of explaining, what's the saying, King James? He has declared him or something?
Yes.
Okay. It literally means he has led himself.
It's exopto, is what it is. It's a little word, exopto. It comes from two Greek words, literally. The ending is a verb ending.
But it comes from ex and ago. It means I go out. And it's in the middle voice. So it means I go out for myself. Or he led himself out. Out of what? Out of eternity and in time and space and in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ.
God came from eternity
that we can't even understand. All we know is days and hours and minutes and seconds. We know, you know, we waited for that clock to tick 12 o'clock last night, so it become 1997. Well, you know what? That is only for our benefit, because God, that He, a day is 1,000 years to God. It don't make any difference.
You know, God was pinned down and became flesh that we might be born again.
Jehovah became flesh that He might buy us back through His blood. When Jesus Christ,
He was in the flesh.
He was God, wasn't He? See, this is real hard stuff to understand.
Yes, I know. You know
the mystery of the God. Paul calls it the mysterion of the Godhead.
The word, our word mystery comes right out of the Greek word for secret. The mystery of the Godhead. How can we understand it when we are human?
We can't understand it.
Only way we can understand it is see it in ourselves. When Joan passes from this world, she will no longer be tied down to that body. When I pass from this world, I'll no longer be tied down to this body. All right.
Now, I don't understand everything I know
about the triune God, the Trinity. But I just know this one thing, that the Word became flesh. Jehovah became flesh. And of course, according to Colossians 1:18, this is the same Jesus that created everything, that created all the universe that you see. Every blade of grass, every tree that you that will ever grow or anything else,
God created those. He created the stars in the heavens. He keeps them in
balance. He makes, why? We try to make calendars accurate enough to say it with God's calendar, solar years, and the lunar years. We can't get it all straightened out. Our atomic clocks and everything else, but God's clock just keeps on ticking right on the second.
It does. Keeps on ticking.
Yeah.
Well, the sun set me right side, so somebody got to be setting me right side.
That's a term, a figure of speech. It means of glory. The right-hand man. He's my right-hand man. Well, he's not your right hand, is he? Huh? But he is your right-hand man. He's your best buddy. He is your helper. Your number one man. Okay? I mean, when we talk about our right-hand man. That's a figure. We use it as he's not your right hand. He's not at your right hand all the time, or anything, this right hand man, but what is he? He's an extension of yourself that you can trust to do something. Okay?
God became flesh.
So he could redeem us back to himself.
In John the 8th chapter, let's go there. Well, let's not go that far yet. Let's go back to the first chapter in verse 23. John 1 and verse 23. We have John the Baptist being quoted here by John. Now, John the Baptist and the Apostle John are two different people. Okay?
John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, and he was born 6 months before Jesus. And he was the one that was supposed to lead the people to him and point them to Jesus.
And they said to him in verse 22, we've got some people asking John the Baptist some questions. They said to him, "Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as Isaiah the prophet said. That's Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Go back to Isaiah 40 and verse 3 again. Make straight the way of Jehovah. In Isaiah 40 and verse 3, Whose way was he making straight? Who was he? What road
was he preparing it for? Who's the people he was preparing for? Who? Who was this person? Name him. All right, you got him. All right. Name his other.
The Messiah.
Jesus. Jesus, by the way, means Jehovah saves.
That's what the name Jesus means. And by the way, the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, that's the book of Jesus. Joshua and Jesus are the same name. By the way, the book of Jonah in the Old Testament is also, that's the name for John in Hebrew, Jonah. All right, well, in Isaiah 40 and verse 3, and a voice is calling, clear the way for the Jehovah. That's the one we didn't say that name a while ago, remember? In the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our Elohim, our God. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, that's what the two Hebrew words are. The first one's Jehovah, and the second one's Elohim. John 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, both of them, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who was that God? Elohim. El Hayim, that's what it is. Comes from that. That means that it's a plural word. It's not singular. It's not duvel, two. In Hebrew, you have one, two, or three or more. And that im, on the end of that, Elohim, is that plural word. That means three or more. Three or more persons in the triune one God. You have three entities in you, but you're one person, aren't you? You're one human being. But in that human being, there's spirit, there's body, and there's soul. And those things really exist. They are there. They're not some idea. They're real. Just like the triune God is. A voice calling, clear the way for Jehovah in the wilderness, makes smooth in the desert a highway for our Elohim. John says, in the beginning was the Word. In the Old Testament it says, in the beginning Elohim created. All right. And Colossians 1 and 16 in the New Testament tells us who did that creating. Who was it? Jesus. Colossians 1 and 18. Wander over there with me. Let's go back to one in Colossians 1 and verse 16. It's talking Colossians 1 and 16. Now we're talking about Jesus here, by the way. If you go all the way back to verse 12, we will get it all. The whole story. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. The word saint, you know what that means? You ever thought about the word saint? It comes from a Greek word, hagios. And that comes from two Greek words, a on the front of it, and ge on the back. And it means not of this earth, one not of the earth. When you're born from above, you're no longer of the earth. All right? That's what saint means. Okay? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of those born from above. That's what it means. Those not of the earth. Saints in light. For He delivered us from the dominion of our darkness. Actually, dominion means the power of. A dominion has a ruler. Who is the power of? Who is the ruler of darkness? Satan. Well, we know it when we're not born again. We are under his power and we don't know it, and he would like to keep you that way until you go to hell. That's right. He wants man to suffer, and he wants you to think he's your buddy all your life. Dominion of darkness transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and he is the image of the invisible God. That's right. He's a pressed out image of the invisible God. Before Jesus became flesh. We have a pre-incarnate Christ, by the way, that walked with Abraham in the Old Testament, that walked with Adam. But he had never been flesh before. He became flesh, according to John 1 and 14, when he came into this world. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, literally, it means the administrator, not the firstborn, the administrator of all creation. For in him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. You know, we can only see 2%. How many of you know how much a dollar is? How much is a dollar? Huh? How much? 100 cents. Do you know that you only see 2 cents out of 100 of what's going on around you? 2%. We can only see 2% of what's really there. There's radio waves around us. There's viruses that are live going around in this room tonight. There's everything and all kinds of stuff you don't even know about. It's there. God created all of it. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him all things are held together. Oh, what a creator. That's Jesus we're talking about. I hope we're lifting up Jesus tonight. Amen. Because he is the God of heaven. He is the Jehovah that came down to die for us and give us everlasting life. How long are we supposed to go on here, brother? 8 o'clock? All right. We've got more time. We'll thrash around in this beautiful word some more. John the 8th chapter. John chapter 8. What? John chapter 8, yeah. Now, Jesus quotes the Old Testament here. And these people won't kill him when he does. Let's go back up to verse 48, okay? John 8 and verse 48. We're going to go down to verse 58. Actually, verse 59. Now, Jesus is talking to a bunch of religious hypocrites. He's talking to the preachers and stuff of that day. These are all the spiritual leaders that he's talking to of that day. And the Jews answered and said to him, "Do not we say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" And Jesus said, "I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly." By the way, here we have the word amen, amen. Now they knew what he was saying there. In the Old Testament, when Moses gave the law to Israel, the word amen was a Persian word. It meant to prop up. Okay?
Let me show you what that word literally means. That's what it literally meant right there, to prop up. That's what the word amen means. To prop up.
To hold something up. Hold it up. It came into Hebrew right straight from Persian, and this came in there and it was amen. Alright? Then it came in from Hebrew into Greek, and it's still amen. And in Greek, it's a particle of affirmation. Back in the Old Testament, when Israel, when they received the law of Moses, when they received the words of life that Moses gave them and the words of death. All right? Those words of life and those words of death, too, by the way. There's more death in that law than there was life. They said, "We will hold it up. We'll prop that word up. We'll obey it. We will do it." They said, "Amen." And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen." First, right off the bat. Amen, amen. They knew that these are the words that they said to Moses. We will take care of the word. We will uphold the word with our lives. We put our lives
we sign our signatures in blood.
We're going to uphold this law. And Jesus said to them, reminding them and pointing them back to the days of Moses, the words that you spoke, amen, amen, you said truly, truly. The God of heaven says to you, truly, truly, amen, amen, I guarantee you that I'm going to stand behind this. I guarantee you I'll uphold my words. I say to you that if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Never see death. And the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say that if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste of death? Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Who was Jesus? Who was it? He was the Jehovah in the Old Testament. And Jesus answered, I glorify myself. My glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I don't know him, I shall be a liar like you. You know why he called them liars? Because they didn't keep that word, amen, did he? They broke that law, and they broke that law, and they broke it, and they broke it, and they broke it. He said, you're a liar. You never did keep the law. What did Jesus do when he's on this earth? He kept the law. He said, I'll be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. For your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham saw Jesus. Did you know that? He saw Jehovah. Go back to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Jesus is talking about the Old Testament here. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis chapter 22. I'm beating around on this microphone up here. Sound like I'm kicking the slats out of the floor or something. Genesis chapter 22. Here again, we see Abraham here. Abraham was told of God to take his son Isaac up to Jerusalem. That's where it actually would become. Mount can't even think of it. Up to this mountain where he was offered what became Jerusalem. That very rock under the Mount Askamovar is the rock where Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. This place is still there today. Now, Abraham was about to kill his son. Here in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. He said, you stay here, told his servants. He said, I and the lad shall go yonder, and we shall worship, and we shall return. Now, he had confidence that God, if he killed that boy, that he was going to raise him up, because through that son was going to be his descendants. And God had promised that. He believed that. Abraham believed it. In verse 8, and Abraham said, go. Isaac said to him, he said, now we got wood and we got fire and we got everything else. Where's the lamb? And he said, God shall provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. In verse 9, it says that Abraham took Isaac and bound him up.
Like your dad taking you out and tying you up. Putting you up on a pile of wood. And he gets out his knife and is about to cut your throat. But that's exactly what they did. They cut the jugular vein. They killed mercifully. They cut the jugular vein. The animal didn't fight much longer after that. But they had no blood to go to his brain to feel the pain. Cut the throat. That's what he was about to do to Isaac.
He bound that boy up and he cut him up on top of there. And the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. We'll find out that Jesus in the Old Testament, Jehovah, is called the angel of the Lord, by the way. And he said, Do not, what? In the Old Testament, many times Jehovah is called the angel of the Lord. All right? You know, the death angel did not pass over Egypt. Jehovah passed over Egypt. The presence of Jehovah passed over Egypt. And all that were not covered by the blood died. Simple as that. That's what happened. Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do not nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. That's what Jesus did for us. He became our sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Was Seen. That's literally what it says.
The Lord was seen. Now, all through all the translations, I don't know why, but they do not put it down there like that. But the name of that place is The Lord Was Seen.
No, it's, well, that's, quotes over there in the side.
Yeah,
in the little deal. Well, it means shall see or was seen. Okay. Literally, the Lord was seen. Jehovah was seen.
So now when you find out what it says here, and the Lord was seen as it is to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided or be seen. Okay? Or was seen. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time. He said, By myself I have sworn. God is swearing by himself. All of our salvation, God takes upon himself. It's not anything to do with us. Nothing to do with us. Go back to the Gospel according to John again now. And let's look and see what Jesus is saying to these people. See why they get so mad. And Jesus said to them again, John 8 and verse 56, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, did Abraham rejoice when he didn't have to kill his son? Did he rejoice when he said, This is the place where the Lord was seen? All right? And that's what it literally means. You can cross-reference that in your Bible. Mm-hmm. And the Jews therefore said to him, You are not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Truly, truly, again, what did he say? Amen, amen. That's what it means. Did it say amen, amen in King James? Or it
says barely, barely.
Okay, that's the word truly, truly, or amen, amen. He says to them again, I am upholding my word. The word that you lied about in the wilderness there that you said you would uphold and you never have upheld yet. You never kept the word. Not one Jew ever kept the covenant of God. Did you know that? Not one Jew ever kept the covenant of God. Not one. Not one Jew ever kept the word of God. I say amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eimi. That's what he says. I am. He quoted the Old Testament there, the Old Testament Septuagint. Now, go back to Exodus 3 and verse 14. Exodus 3, that's the second book. By the way, the word Exodus means the way out, the road out. Moses was the way out of Egypt for Israel. Exodus 3 and verse 14. Jesus is quoting the Septuagint here in the Old Testament. And you go back up in verse 13 and said, Then Moses said to God, Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?
And the God, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said, Ego Eimi, Ego Eimi. Or he said in Hebrew, Hayah, Hayah. Okay? Now there were 70 people that translated the Old Testament from Greek, or from Hebrew into Greek. And when Jesus quoted to those Jews, a lot of them didn't know how to read Hebrew. So he quoted to them the Greek Septuagint of the Old Testament so they would know exactly what he, who he was saying that he was. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Go back now to John 8 and verse 58. Truly, truly, amen, amen, I shall uphold my word, I guarantee you, before Abraham was, Hayah, Hayah, or Ego Eimi, I am Jehovah. And what? How did they answer him? How did they answer him? Did they say, boys? They took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out. Why did they take up stones? Because he was guilty of blasphemy as far as they were concerned. He said he was God. So who is Jesus? He's Jehovah. He's God. By the way, if you look in the Bible, I'm not going to go to all those places because I don't have time. But Jesus says, as he was conversing with the Jews, they were talking about the temple. He said, you tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll build it up again. And they said, well, it took years and years to build this temple. We're going to, if you tear it down, you're going to build it up in one day. Or in 3 days you're going to build it back up. What was he talking about? The temple of his body. Jesus says, you tear this temple down, you kill me, and in 3 days I'll raise myself up. Middle voice is what he used there, by the way. In another place, we find out that the Holy Spirit was going to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And another place, it said the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Who raised him from the dead? God. You got it. God raised him from the dead. Well, it's because God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. And there aren't three of them. There's only one. Because in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, what does it say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Now that's only part of the lesson I have on the Trinity or the Triune God. But I